And I want to remind you of something. God is the God. God is the God that leads you through every transition, every new season, every time you pivot, every time you fail, every time you are fearful. He is the God that navigates you through it. If he is challenging you, hey, you need to begin again in this area, or you need to scrap those old feelings, or you need to scrap that old way of doing things, and you need to begin again. If he is challenging you to do that, he will navigate it with you.
It's time now for the Autumn Miles Show.
Hey guys, it is your girl, Autumn Miles. Welcome back to a brand new episode week of the Autumn Miles Show. Love y'all so much. I love this season. I love everything about spring. It's very springy over here. Typically by now in the DFW area, it's like summer-ish, but it's spring. My kids haven't even jumped in the pool yet. That'll tell you something, because typically Moses is in my pool in March splashing around, and he's not in there yet. So it is like a slow go over here to summertime, which I'm okay with because the days are beautiful. Welcome to the show today. We have prayed for you. We have set apart an amazing show for you today. I'm excited about it myself. In my prep meeting, I really feel like this is a word for somebody out there today. And so we're going to go straight to God's word about how do you begin again? How do you do that? It's going to be good right after the break. You guys are sending us messages like crazy, and we love to hear it. We love to hear from you. Keep them coming. Hello@autumnmiles.com. You know that we are, we read all that stuff, okay? And we want to feature your story on the show and what God is doing in your life. And so definitely send us an email at hello@autumnmiles.com. And eventually we're going to do voice testimonies. We're going to do that. We've got some really cool stuff coming up in September over here. And maybe, I know my producer is listening right now, maybe we can add that in, because I want to hear your voice. I want to hear it from your mouth, what God is doing in your life. And so that is coming up. Please keep sending those, as well as the questions. We get so many questions from you guys, and we have to like kind of, you know, weed through them. And, you know, we get so many that we choose one for every week, but honestly, we could have like 40 every week. But keep those coming as well. Hello@autumnmiles.com. We want you to feel like you are a part of our family, because this is family. All right. We've been together for a long time, people. We've been doing this a long time. And I mean, I got gray hair now. I got a kid going to college now. We are like ride or die. We have been doing this thing for a long time. And so keep it coming. I want to hear from you. We love you, love you, love you so much. And I really do consider you guys part of my family. My family even considers you family. Like my family, my kids even consider you, you know, their cousins and their aunties and uncles and that kind of thing. So I'm so glad to be here today. What is God doing in my life? I say, what is God doing in my life? And I guess it's both. What is happening in my life and what is God doing in my life? He is doing so much. I didn't know what to share today because there's so much going on. Just on a personal level, like sometimes I'll have times when ministry is like, yeah, crazy busy. I've traveled right now the last 3 weekends, and I get a break this weekend. And so I am super happy to be home with my family this weekend. By the way, if you want to book me to speak at your event, you can also email hello@autumnmiles.com, and Amanda will work with you on a date. I'd love to come to your church. I've been doing that a lot lately and have been loving it. Last week, about, oh my goodness, it was such a special time of ministry that, whew, it was powerful. So I came home and I literally needed to recalibrate a couple of days because it just hit me so hard. But yes, I still travel and speak. Sometimes you guys will ask that. And absolutely, you can email hello@autumnmiles.com and Amanda will work you through that. Anyway, that's not what I'm going to talk about right now. So many things are happening in my life. My daughter is graduating in a month. I'm going to have a kid out of the house in a month. How did that happen? So we have all the meetings about that right now. I just had a meeting about her graduation party yesterday. Oh my goodness. It's like, it is such a big deal to have a graduation party. Remember when we had our graduation parties? You know, my mom's like, get some chips and salsa. And, you know, we had some, I don't even think we had bottled water back then. But it was no biggie. You had a couple friends come by. Everyone gives you $5 and you're good to go. It ain't like that anymore. Oh my gosh, so crazy. I texted my daughter, how many people you want to have at your graduation party? And I repeat her, and I quote, her message back to me was, as many as possible. I'm like, okay, cool. Great. Super love to hear that. Anyway, I was going to talk about that, but I decided to talk about my baby daughter, Haven Miles. My baby, and I do mean my baby girl, is turning 9 years old tomorrow. I feel as if I should call her my baby anymore because she's nine. I mean, nine. But to me, she'll always be my baby. Even when they're like 55, I'm going to call her my baby. I call her Havy Baby. That is my, if you've read my book, I have a song that I sing over her, and that's where Havy Baby came from. And so I'll be like, Havy Baby, come on. And she's just started saying, Mom, don't call me a baby. I'm a big girl. And I'm like, I know. I don't want you to be a big girl. Because pretty soon you're going to be driving, you're going to be dating, and you're going to be having graduation parties, and you're going to be graduated, and you aren't a baby. But I'm going to call you as baby as long as I can. Anyway, she's turning nine tomorrow, and I think it's some sort of rite of passage for her because she has begun to have certain requests. She's wanted a cell phone for like 3 years, but that's not happening. And so she knows that. And, you know, we're really protective of our children and what we allow. I'm like, if you want to get your ear, she has three hole piercings in both ears. She's nine. I mean, she's eight. She's not nine yet. She just got her third hole piercing in her ear. She's so cute. She's like, oh my gosh, this kid is like drop dead gorgeous for an 8 year old. She's beautiful. But she said, Mom, can I have a three hole piercing? And I said, yeah, I'm fine. So on those things, we're not as strict, but on character things, oh my gosh, we are so strict. On everything that they put into their mind, on the video games, we're very strict on video games. We're really strict on any show, any movie that they watch, because I know how important our minds are. And obviously I'm doing this podcast. So sometimes we're not as strict on I don't know, maybe you guys are going to think I'm crazy, but my daughter, Grace, wanted a nose piercing when she was 16. And I'm like, you know what? That's okay. Cause her heart is a heart of gold and she loves Jesus. So it's like, okay, we'll pass on that. But Haven's kind of the same way. She wants a cell phone, and she knows very well that is not happening. It's not happening. But she is putting her requests in for things a lot more in a much more mature, articulate way than she used to. She used to say, Mom, I want a cell phone. And she asked for a phone, and she approached me slowly, calmly. She walked up to me and she gave me a hug. I love you, Mom. I said, I love you, baby. And Mom, she said, can I ask you a question? And I said, absolutely. You can ask me anything. Of course you can. You know, I'll talk to you, whatever. I didn't know what was coming. She was setting me up is what she was doing. Mom, have I been good today? Yes, baby, you've been good today. You've had a really good day. I'm so proud of you. Okay, I was just wondering if I was good today. Mom, isn't it great that my birthday is this week? I said, yeah, I can't wait. I'm so super excited, you know, all this stuff. Okay, good. You're excited. And I've been good today. And I love you. And then I knew, what is this child? What is she fishing for? This girl is fishing hard for something. And then it came, Mom, I was watching commercials on TV and I found that I could take any cell phone, Mom, even old ones, even ones that we don't use anymore, even ones that we have laying around.
to this certain cell phone provider and they will give me a brand new iPhone. And it's my birthday this week. And I just wanted you to know that that's what I want for my birthday. And I sat completely stunned at the way this child crafted this request. She was so perfect. She crafted it so beautifully that if I was not a veteran as a mother, I would have like eaten right out of her hands. And I said to her, well, that is wonderful news. I'm so glad for all those other people that are going to get those brand new phones because they have extra cell phones laying around. That is so amazing. And then I proceeded to tell her, unfortunately, it's not the time for you to get one. But I just want to say, I don't know what this 9-year-old year holds for my child. She is, like I've said before, the most interesting, most hilarious person I have ever met in my life. The Lord crafted her mind so geniusly that it's crazy. She, for instance, I know I'm going over on my monologue, but it's my show, so we're going to do it. She saw a van, like a white van, you know, those like white vans that are slightly creepy. She saw a white van last night. She looked at me. She goes, Mom, those vans, I'm not even going to walk by because I have something that tells me not to. And Eddie and I are sitting there and I was like, what did you just say? And she was like, that's what I said. I'm not even going to walk by one of those vans. I'm like, yeah, good. Don't. Anyway, this kid is such a genius. I don't know what 9 is going to hold for her, but I am here for it. I am obsessed with this child. She is my gift from God. So happy birthday to my Havy baby. She is just absolutely everything and I love her so much. So anyway, that is what's happening in my life. I have to make a strawberry cake and because she wants me to make her a cake and I have to draw Simba. Simba is her favorite character from Disney. And so I have to attempt to draw this on this cake and I have no idea how I'm going to do it. So pray for your girl over here because I'm not Betty Crocker. Anyway, her birthday is tomorrow. That's what's happening in my world. Guess what? We're going to have a good show. I want you to come back with some fresh ears on. If you are facing a new beginning of some sort, come back. Fresh ears. I'm going to walk you through the foundation of that new beginning. It's going to help you. I'll see you in a sec.
Yeah. Holy flow. Yeah. Holy flow. God took all my punishment, said I don't need a O. Yeah, I don't need a O. All the sinning, get behind me because you know that you got to go. Gotta go. If it's dark versus light, score gonna be 20, yo. Yeah, 20, yo. With my pen on the pad, devil gonna sit on a tech.
The potential for God to change lives is clear. Autumn Miles has a mission to spiritually challenge the way people think. The Autumn Miles Show and Autumn Miles Ministries are 100% listener supported by those who have already been blessed by God's Word. Would you like to see others experience the change that you have already experienced? Consider being a financial partner with this life-changing ministry. Simply go to autumnmiles.com and click the Donate tab. While you're there, check out all the aspects of this dynamic work. Thank you for supporting Autumn with your prayers and by being a financial partner. God bless you.
With my pen on the pad, devil gonna sit on a tech.
We're back. I have thought about this one thing, I would say for 6 months. Okay. This one thought has circulated in my head and I wanted to share it today because I think it fits really, really good with what we're talking about. Sometimes, you know, I'll share something and I'll think, why did I share that? Sometimes I share it a little premature when it hasn't manifested its way through my soul yet. But one of the things, and maybe I've shared it before, but I want to share it in maybe a little bit of a different way, but that the Lord really has challenged me with is this phrase over the past year, you're loyal, Autumn, but what are you loyal to? What are you loyal to? Me and my entire family, I would say my mom, my dad, my brother, my sister, myself, we have always been very, it's like a thing. I actually went and looked at a crest of what my maiden name is and like the family crest because I guess we're Irish. I don't really remember. That doesn't really help. But I went and looked at this family crest and I was looking through it and I think there was a color on there and there was a lot of the same color. I think it was blue. I don't remember. Sorry, I didn't set up the story very good. But I asked the person that was helping me, I said, what does this color represent? And they said loyalty. And it was really interesting because that is all throughout, you know, my side of the family. And I've always prized myself on that. Loyal, like, you know, I'm loyal to everything. I'm loyal to a makeup brand. Like, you know, I'm loyal to my hairdresser. I'm loyal to my nail people. I'm just loyal. That's just the kind of personality I am. When you're in my heart, unless God really says it's time to move away from that, you know, I'm with you. You got me. Okay. When you get in there. Now, it's hard to get in sometimes. But when you're in, I really have a huge sense of loyalty to my friends and family and things that I love. But what I realized and what God really started to work in me in the past year is you're loyal, Autumn. Yes, absolutely. And that's a great thing because God is loyal. I mean, that's something that didn't come from, you know, my family. Obviously, it came from him. He's loyal to us. But he started asking me about systems in my life and why I do what I do and my mindsets. And he started to poke at me and these things. I think I shared with you about Eddie and I last week about how we had to face some of the systems that we had created and realize they weren't working for us anymore. And we needed to create something that worked for who we were now. Same thing with me on a personal level. He would poke at me and say, okay, you do it this way and that worked for a season, but why are you loyal to it now? And it started a process in me of a new beginning. New beginnings in a lot of ways. And I don't know if this is just because I've lived a little bit of life. I'm by no means old, but I'm not young anymore. I mean, I hate to say that, but I'm somewhere in between in the middle. I feel young, but I know my age is not as young as I would. I don't even know if I would like it to be. I like the age that I am now. I like the things that I've learned. I like the things that I've gone through because they've created wisdom that I need. But he started poking on me and he started saying, why are you loyal to that thing? What does it do to you? Is it just the pride of saying I'm loyal, or is it something that you should not be loyal to? And it began this process of new beginning in me where I started looking at systems and, you know, things that I had done for a long time and just thought, you know what? That is not working for me anymore. I don't want to do that anymore. And it started to churn up in me the old wineskins. It started to churn up in me these old systems where I just kind of wanted to get rid of them and say, okay, God, bring in the new wine, the new oil for this season. Where is the new? And sometimes when something goes, you really don't know how to replace it. You know, how do you begin again when you're not young? How do you begin? You're not old, but you're not young. But you find yourself in a season of beginning something again. It's exhausting sometimes to begin again. I've been talking to people lately. A lot of people I know are getting a divorce or have recently gotten divorced. And they're, I would say they were, you know, they're not young, but they're not old. I find myself in a new season with my daughter who is leaving. You know, we're entering a new season. We're beginning something new. She's completely beginning something new. I've talked to so many people in ministry lately that are beginning completely brand new faith chapters. And the idea when you've put some life behind you to begin again is just exhausting. How do you do it? Where do you begin? It could feel overwhelming, and maybe that's what you're debating right now. I know I need to begin again, but I don't even know where to start to begin again. Some of us aren't just beginning, we're beginning again. And I want to remind you of something. God is the God. God is the God that leads you through every transition, every new season, every time you pivot, every time you fail, every time you are fearful. He is the God that navigates you through it. If he is challenging you, hey, you need to begin again in this area, or you need to scrap those old feelings, or you need to scrap that old way of doing things, and you need to begin again. If he is challenging you to do that, he will navigate it with you. So many new seasons around me. We're in a new season. We're in the season of spring, where all of a sudden the trees looked dead, but they weren't. They sprung new life. And how do they do that? Because God created them to go through seasons that look like things are gone, only to spring back new life. He is the God of four seasons because he created them all. And I just feel like some of you guys are in this season of newness again. And it's overwhelming. And you don't know where to start. Maybe you just retired. My brother-in-law just retired. He's beginning again, even though he's not young. And yet there's a new beginning. If you are confused by this, oof, I felt like this is going to be good. I feel like this is right on target today. I want to take you through Genesis 1. And we're just going to look at what God says about beginning. We're going to go bare bones basic. Did you just get a divorce? How do you begin again? Did you just lose your job? How do you begin again? Is your kid leaving? How do you begin again? When it's overwhelming and you're exhausted, the steps, like I talked about a couple of last week, I think that instructions are easy. Sometimes the action is hard. I want to walk you through the beginning of your new beginning. Okay, let's do it. Let me read it. Genesis 1. Now, I've had my Bible a long time, and there is a hunk missing out of this passage. I think I have memorized. I think I could do it, but just in case I get stumped, you know. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening and there was morning one day. Then God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." God made the expanse and separated the waters which were below the expanse from the waters which were above the expanse, and it was so. God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening and there was morning a second day. Then God said, "Let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. The first time God saw, and it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, planting, yielding seed, and fruit trees on the earth, bearing fruit after their own kind with seed in them." We're going to come back to that. And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants, yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in them according to their kind. And God saw that it was so. And there was evening and there was morning a third day.
Now, I could go on, but I'm going to stop right there because it's got the principles in there that I really, really want to talk about. This passage of scripture, we all know it. We've all heard it. We've all read it. If you haven't, go read it, especially read the whole thing. Especially if you're going in, if you're beginning again, if you're beginning a new season, whatever that is, okay? This should, the principles in this can be applied to you exactly where you are. And you should glean encouragement from God. I want to tell you something right now. No one was praying for God to create the earth. There weren't people yet. No one was there. No one was praying. No one was asking God to create the earth. There wasn't nobody there, okay? Nobody. And what God did in creating the earth, he did it because he wanted to. He did it because he wanted to create something amazing. No one can get credit for asking God to create the mountains because he did it by himself without your help or without your prayer. All glory goes to God and God alone. All right. I tell you this because I think in this season of beginning again, you think you have to create by yourself. But when you begin again, the God that created everything begins with you. He doesn't even need your help to create a new beginning. You weren't there in Genesis 1. He doesn't need you moving forward. He can do it with or without you in your life. The encouraging thing is that if he could do it without you, then he could really do it with you. I want you to understand the power of God to create something beautiful out of rubble, out of absolutely nothing. He can put something back together that is so magnificent, so amazing that he looks at it and he says, oh, that is so good. That is good. So in your life, if you're looking at rubble, if you're looking at, oh my goodness, how do I put all these feelings back together? How do I restart my life after divorce? How do I restart my life after this shamble went on in my ministry? How do I live after that person leaves? What do I do? Well, let me tell you something. God didn't need you to create everything, and he can do and create something amazing with or without you right now in your own life. He don't need you. He likes to work in partnership with us, but he doesn't need us. There is something so encouraging about this to me. When God said to me, Autumn, why are you loyal to that thing? It's not a sin to not be loyal to that system in your mind anymore. You don't have to operate like that any longer. Break up with that system that you've created because it's not working anymore. It was so freeing. And I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to get rid of this system. You've got to put a new system into place. Because I've been doing this for so long, I've absolutely no idea how to put a healthy system back in place when this has been working for me for a while. And he said, okay, I'm going to do it. In the beginning, this is how you do it. If you're looking at a new beginning, in the beginning, I do this every year on January 1st. I post it every year. This is not a January 1st message. I'm just saying I post it because it's important for us to remember when you are beginning again, God. In the beginning, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. This is the beautiful thing about second chances. I was able to speak this past weekend and share my story, which is probably why it just took it out of me. It just really took it out of me. I haven't shared it like that in that kind of a setting for a while. And one of the things I realized after I got divorced when I was 22 years old is that God was not at the beginning of my first marriage. He wasn't there. Now, he was there, like technically was he there, but I had not invited him in to do nothing, okay? He wasn't a part of it. I didn't really want him a part of it. I didn't want him to tell me anything about it. I wanted to do what I wanted to do, and that's what I was going to do, and that's exactly what I did. But when we begin again, We can place God at the foundation of whatever that new beginning looks like. Maybe the first time you got married, God was nowhere near. And here you are, divorced, separated, whatever it is. And you're looking at this new season of your life. And you have thought for years, if I could just have God as the foundation of whatever I do, that would just make all the difference. Well, guess what? God has given you another chance to do that. When you're looking at losing your kid and being an empty nester and thinking, oh my goodness, how in the world am I going to reconstruct my life when my life for the last 18 years has looked a certain way because of my children? This is how you do it. In the beginning, God. You place him there. You place him there as your foundation for your new beginning. Nothing else goes there. This is like a fresh start, a fresh stamp for you to get started. I was talking to a pastor very recently, and they had had what they were talking about how their church had not split. I won't say that, but it was going through, it was churning, it was going through changes. And some people have stepped away, stepped down, whatever, whatever. And they were asking me, how do we do this moving forward? They have a new beginning. They're beginning again. And I said, in the beginning, God. Where he wasn't before, put him there now. If he wasn't in the worship, because you know that it lacked the anointing of the Holy Spirit, put him there now. If he wasn't in the small group, put him there now. How can we insert God in our new beginning where he wasn't there before, but he's got to be there now? In the beginning, God. That's how you start. And everything else, where obviously I have more to say, but everything else comes from that. You don't have to know how he's going to reconstruct your new beginning. But if you know that, that's all you need to know. The beginning of my second marriage. Oh my goodness. I wrote about it in Rahab. I didn't know what a healthy marriage looked like. Oh my goodness. No idea. But I knew this. If God was at my center and he had put us together, whatever happened, I was going to get through it. In the beginning, God. When you begin again, God. The next part of that verse, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, we got God in the beginning of our new beginning. And this is what it does not say. In the beginning, God made Adam to help him create the heavens and the earth. Adam didn't come until later, okay? And he made him out of dirt. So, you know what? Like, God was not like, I wonder what Adam thought. I really need someone that I made out of dirt to help me construct the heavens and the earth. I really need that. He did not make Adam first. If he would have, Adam would not have survived because he didn't have anything to eat. Okay. Now, yes, don't email me. God could have fed him manna or whatever he wanted to feed him. But the point is that he created everything without Adam or Eve, girls, for that matter. Adam was made out of dirt. Eve was made out of a rib. You know, the creator doesn't really need help from the creation when he's about to create something spectacular. He did it himself. In the beginning, God created. Do you have anything to do with the calendar changing time, rolling from 1 year to the next? No, you do not. You have not. Can you stop it? No. Can you make it go faster? No. Can you roll it back? No. And yet, in our new beginnings, we get so stressed out about how everything's going to happen and how when I get to the job, how am I going to be at the job and how am I going to do this? And, you know, if I'm single, I'm going to be newly single. And how do I operate, you know, being newly single? And, you know, that's weird. I haven't been single for a long time. If I'm a single mom, how am I going to do this? Well, guess what? In the beginning, God created without any humans. So in your new beginning, he can create something amazing in your life, and he doesn't even need your help, like I just said. Do you see how much we worry so much
Sometimes we spend so much time stressing out when really what we need to do is open the palms of our hands and say, God, I have no idea how this is going to turn out. I'm nervous. I'm scared. But in the beginning, if you created without anyone's help the heavens and the earth, I can trust you. So God, in the beginning, God creates. Let me ask you something. If God was not in the beginning of your life or whatever it is you're leaving, but he is now, he could construct your life in a way now that is so much more fabulous and wonderful and spectacular than anything you could do without him. I have been to Hawaii so many times, and it's like if we don't do anything for the whole year, but I get to go there for like 2 hours, I'm good. Even if I'm just passing through in the airport, I'm good. There's something about it, but my husband has gone with me as well, and we will just stand and look at the majesty of what the Lord created, and we look around and it's like nobody helped him with this. You know, it wasn't like the mountains and the islands and like all of those kind of things. I mean, the sea and the sky and the, you know, everything. It's just the animals in the sea, the birds, the flowers. It's like, wow, this is what God creates without our help. And yet we think somehow, some way, he needs our help to construct or reconstruct something fantastic. In the beginning, God created. He will create a life for you that you wouldn't have even dreamed. My parents actually told me after my speaking engagement this weekend, I called them just to download with them. They know all about my past. And I was just talking to them about it, and my dad stopped. And my dad has this thing called like 5 words of genius. Well, he'll just say one line, and that's all we'll need. And we were talking just about some of the hurts that our family has gone through. And he said, but Autumn, but he hadn't said anything for like 20 minutes. But Autumn, look at your life. And all of us stopped. It was me, my husband, and my parents. So all 4 of us just stopped. Look at your kids, Autumn. I mean, I could cry just thinking about it. The way God reconstructed my life after such tragedy and trauma, he did it. I had nothing to do with it but obey and listen and put him at the center. He is so good at creating. He doesn't even need our help. He needs our surrender. Open your hands and say, God, take it. The next thing is this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But this is what he says here. The earth was formless and void. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. Formless and void. There was nothing there. It was daunting with darkness. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. And then God said, let there be light. And there was light. Again, this passage of scripture is so amazing because I just get such a sense that there's some of you that are looking and all you see is darkness. And you're staring at a formless void future. And you're saying, how is it going to be filled? The word let there be, which I have so many notes here for because I think it's so cool. When God says let there be here in Genesis 1, it is the literal Hebrew word hayah. Hayah. Okay. I say that because I think it's so funny because it's like a karate chop. It reminds me of a karate chop, right? Like, hi-ya. And that's what God did to the formless, void earth that he was looking at. He gave it a little karate chop. Hi-ya! He said, let there be light. And there was light. Why was there light? Because the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. And the Spirit of God heard the voice of God and created light from the void. I want to let you know, I love the fact that it's Hayah. I just think that's like the best thing. I think God is so funny when he puts those little tidbits in there and you're like, ah, Hayah. That's all I can think of is a karate chop. You know, the little kids with the little black belt, green belt, purple belt, whatever they are. And they're like chopping. That's exactly what God did to the darkness. He like karate chopped it. I think that's so awesome. But the Spirit of God heard the voice of God and said, oh, I'm going to act. And what was dark and what was formless and what was void all of a sudden had light, had truth, had perspective. The Word of God alone created this. Those of you that are looking at what you think is darkness, what you think is formless, what you think is void, I want you to understand that the Word of God creates things that have never existed yet. All he has to do is say the word. Just say the word, God. And his Spirit obeys his word. You can have an amazing new beginning that you're starting into. You can have a better second half of your life than the first. You can have your golden years be miraculous and majestic and wonderful. God can create an opportunity for you right now, for those of you that might be staring at, like, I need a new job situation, that is 50,000 times better than it was before. His word alone creates. And he does not create things that are not worth creating. So when he speaks, he creates something magnificent that he can look at and he can say, it is good. This is why we put him at the center of our new beginning. I've already started doing that with Grace. Okay, God, I don't know how this is going to turn out. We only know a life with four kids. I mean, we had a life before Moses and Haven came, but I don't remember it much. All we know is four kids. And Grace has clearly always already been, what is our life going to look like? I don't know, God, but you're going to lead us through it because we're putting you at the foundation of our new beginning. And we're putting you at the foundation of her new beginning. We trust you with her new season as well. I wonder if right now, rather than worrying, you need to surrender it. Just surrender. Lord, all I'm staring at right now, let's just pray. Lord, all I get the sense that so many right now are staring at this formless void darkness. They're staring at it and they're thinking, I'm too old. I'm too exhausted. And Father God, I just pray that you would remind them of this passage. Then God said, let there be, and it happened. I pray that you would not let Satan get a foothold in their minds. I pray that you would change their perspective to look not with a dreary discouragement, but to look truly at this new season with eyes of hope. I pray that this passage encourages them in Jesus' name. I'm not done, but I felt like I needed to pray. Let's move on. Let there be light. Verse 6, then God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters. Let there be, bam, it happened. And let it separate the waters from the waters. Then God made the expanse. I'm going to skip forward a little bit. God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening and morning in the first day. Then God said, let the waters below and the heavens be gathered into one place. And let the dry land appear. And it was so. God called the dry land earth. And the gathering of water, he called seas, and God saw that it was good. Now, listen. Then God said, let the earth sprout vegetation. This is what I want to sit for a minute. Plants yielding seed and fruit trees on the earth bearing fruit after their own kind with seed in them. And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their own kind, and trees bearing fruit with the seed in them after their own kind. And God saw that it was so. Okay. I love this passage of scripture. I've loved it for a long time just because God created things that reproduce, that are constantly producing. Okay. And I feel like when we put God at the center, and I have used this passage in my life multiple times, when we put God at the center and he gives us a new beginning and we say, Lord, we need you to create form. We need you to fill this void. And he comes in and he fills it. And then we're like, okay, God, here is, I'm staring at an opportunity that I need help from. God gives us oftentimes things that keep producing for us, things with seeds in them. This is what he did. Then God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees on the earth bearing fruit after their own kind. He created things with opportunity and new life in them, so that they could produce, so that they could feed Adam, Eve, and their children, and all of those things. And we're still benefiting from that. One of the amazing things that God does, I believe, when we put God at the center of what we do, is he will give us opportunities that when we obey and when we steward them well, give a birth to other opportunities, okay? He created these seeds of these trees with seeds in them to produce. He gives us opportunities that when they're stewarded well, breed, if you will, new opportunities. For example, when I married Eddie, I knew God is at the center. We're going to do this thing. And we both knew that we were called to ministry. It was the ministry that God gave us that we stewarded well that gave birth to new opportunities in our life. When I got my first book deal, I will never forget. I got it. God gave it to me. I did not know that that book deal had seeds, proverbial seeds in them that would produce opportunity moving forward. I got the first book deal. I wrote Appointed, Your Future Starts Now. And it was because of that book that I got the subsequent two other book deals. That book had seeds in it to produce more seeds. I got the other two book deals. I began writing, doing op-eds and stuff like that for other people. I've been on every media outlet you can imagine your girl has been on. These opportunities, these things that God creates, it looks like a tree. But it has a lot of seeds in them. This is why when we're given an opportunity, we are told to steward it no matter what it looks like. I hope this is making sense. When you're given an opportunity to speak to five people and you want to be a speaker that travels around the world and does it, and you don't steward those five people well, and you forget about that opportunity, maybe the seeds that would have been produced aren't there anymore. Stewardship is a principle in the Bible. God gives us things. He gave us the fruit of these trees in order to feed us. Sometimes he'll give you a tree, and if you take it as a tree, you won't realize that there are seeds in it to produce in later years. God gives you an opportunity. Understand that with that opportunity, if it is stewarded well, it will give birth to other opportunities. It's given to you. The seeds that are for the future are hidden, but you have to steward that tree well. Does that make sense to you? This is how God reconstructs your life. This is how we begin again. Amazing. We put God at the center. We understand that every vegetation, every fruit tree is from him. And he can produce fruit from those trees for years and years and years to come if we steward them well. Those trees are still feeding us because of the seeds that have come out of them. Does that make sense? In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created. In the beginning, God said, let there be Hayah. In the beginning, God said, let the earth sprout vegetation with seeds in them. I bring this up because I think sometimes when we're in a divorce, I know me specifically, I just keep using that because it's just, you know, fresh on my mind. I had no idea how God was going to reconstruct my life. I lost everything but my parents and a couple other people in my first marriage. I moved to a completely different place, and I thought, I have no idea, God, how you are going to reconstruct my life and put my life back together. But you know what? He knew he was going to be giving me trees with seeds. And he knew that I was just as starving for him as I could be. And he knew that I would steward those trees with seeds well. And those trees with seeds are still producing fruit in my life. He knows how to give you something that will produce for years to come. Your job is to put him at the center in this new season. Your job is to listen to his word. Your job is to trust him with the opportunities that he gives you that have seeds attached. And watch what he does in your life. Make this your number one priority. All the other stuff, all the self-help books, all the Instagram, you know, theologians. They're great, guys. But all of this is based on his actual word out of Genesis 1. God's intentional at what he creates. He's intentional at creation. And he wants to reconstruct your life better in this new season than it's ever been. And he will. I've seen him do it. He did it for me. So Lord, we love you today. And we praise you, the God who can create anything at any time for anyone. Who can recreate, who can reform, who can fill. You are the God that does that. And we praise you for that. I pray for those that are listening that are beginning again, I pray that you would encourage them, Father, with this text. I pray, Lord Jesus, that it would give them the life, the hope, and the future that they need. And we love you. And we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll be back right after the break with a testimony and a question. I'll see you in a sec.
Yeah. Holy flow. Yeah. Holy flow. God took all my punishment, said I don't need a O. Yeah, I don't need a O. All this sinning, get behind me, because you know that you got to go. Got to go. If it's dark versus light, score going to be 20, yo. Yeah, 20, yo. With my pin on the pad. Devil gonna sit on a tech.
Looking for a passionate speaker to bring the word of God for your next conference or church function? We've got the girl for you. Autumn Miles is the founder of the Autumn Miles Ministries with the goal of spiritually challenging the way people think. Autumn is dedicated to teaching the Bible in an engaging and relatable way so that everyone can experience the Lord in a deeper way. Autumn is a survivor of domestic abuse, and she's passionate about educating the church on how to effectively assist victims. Her message of hope and healing has been shared on the big stage internationally. Autumn is devoted to spiritually challenging people to draw closer to God. She is a passionate advocate for the Word of God, women, domestic violence victims, and adoption. So what are you waiting for? You can book Autumn for your next speaking engagement today. Just go to autumnmiles.com. Once there, just search the top of the index for the Invite Autumn tab. Click on it and scroll down for more information. Once again, that's autumnmiles.com.
With my pin on the pad, devil gonna sit on a tech.
Okie doke, guys, we are back. Hope you loved that. Hope that was super practical for you. I loved it. I love this passage of scripture. It's just so, oh, so good. And so many things in scripture tie back to this very beginning of the word of God. I hope you'll go and you'll read it if you are beginning again. Question for you. What do you do when you feel like you're losing yourself? This is a really good question. I used to be joyful and now I just don't feel anything. I don't know who this is from. I don't have a name or anything like that, but I want to tell you something right now. God sees you. He sees exactly where you are. He sees you in your frustration. He sees you in your discouragement and maybe even your depression. He sees you exactly where you are. Personally, for me, I understand what you're feeling. I know, I don't know what stage of life you're in, but I know it can get like that as a mom, or just in a season where a lot has been demanded of you, and you just kind of feel like, I used to be joyful and now I'm not. I want you to step away for a week. The Lord just dropped a week in my spirit. Not go anywhere. You don't have to leave. But I want you to get up early in the morning. It's springtime. It should be nice. Go sit outside. And for whatever time that you deem necessary, I want you to ask the Spirit of God to minister to your soul. Ask Him to minister to you. You don't have to be fancy. You don't be all legalistic. You don't pull all the stunts that the world tells you to. I want you to be raw. I want you to be honest. I want you to go outside, and I want you to sit in the creation of God. And I want you to say, Spirit of God, I'm losing myself. I don't know who I am. I'm numb. I don't feel anything. I need you to minister to me. I've done this so many times, and it has refreshed me. The Bible says times of refreshing come from the Spirit of God. And you need to sit in it. Sit in it. Okay. I hope that helps. Well, I'm going to pray for you. Lord, whoever asks this question, God, they need you. They need you to do something fresh in them. They need you to refresh them. And Spirit of God, I ask you to step into their soul. Wake it up, Father. I pray that they would do the necessary steps, Lord, to just have them come back to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I hope that helps. Got a testimony to round us out. Someone wrote in, I know Amanda streamlined it a little bit, but there's been a lot of change and transition in their life the past few months. But they say, God has really been inviting me to see and know Him as my main source and provider. I know now that all of the change and transition that I've gone to needed to happen in order to show me that I don't need anyone or anything else other than God, and that only He can truly satisfy me. He is the only one I can build my life upon and fully trust to let lead me. I needed to get lost, they say, in order to be placed on the right track. Your episode, When You Expect Things from God Alone, You Change Your Life, confirmed so much to me and challenged me. But most of all, during your closing prayer, I felt deeply the Holy Spirit minister to my heart and invited to release, give up control, and my ideas for how I thought my life should go. So, praise the Lord that this show has helped you and encouraged you. This is why we do what we do. I'm so proud of you. Cling to what the Lord is telling you, and cling to your expectation being fully placed in Him. Because the enemy wants you to expect from other things, but you remind the enemy, nope, my hope is found in God and God Himself. Okay. I love that. Love you guys so much. So much. I will see you next week for a brand new episode, a Mother's Day episode on Spirit-led parenting. Is going to be good. I can't wait to share. I'll see you then. Have an awesome week. Bye-bye. Let's go!
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Autumn Miles Show. To find out more, go to autumnmiles.com. Once you're there, you can check out the many resources that Autumn has available. From her books and past episodes to her video series, we've got all the tools you need to help you grow deeper in your relationship with God. Once again, that's autumnmiles.com. To get connected and for more encouraging content, you can follow Autumn on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Just search for Autumn Miles in your internet browser. We appreciate your prayers and support for this ministry. It's because of you that we have been able to impact millions of people worldwide, and that we can continue to serve those who need to hear Autumn's message of victory and promise. Find out how you can come alongside us when you go to autumnmiles.com. Just search the top of the index for the support tab. Thank you for listening in today, and be sure to join us next time for another episode of the Autumn Miles Show.